coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. Now, here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Mark Lasseter.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and coming to you live from Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. And we are presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. And I will tell you, we're not taking any calls today. We are taping this in order for us to take care of some things that we need to take care of Saturday. So no phone calls today, no texts, but we sure do appreciate you being part of our show today. And we're going to go all the way around the state today and spend a lot of time talking about some things that are going on. And we got breaking news that has come out late last night. And we'll be talking about Pell City and Mary Montgomery and situation going on there. But in this first hour, we're going to talk to Arthur Mack. Arthur Mack is right on top of everything going on in cross country and outdoor track and field. And the Call News has we've kind of not crossed paths, but we are on the same path as far as our players of the year in outdoor track and field. And Arthur is going to talk to us today about the male athlete. Track and field athlete of the year. Look forward to talking to Arthur Mack. And then at 8:30, we're going to talk to Catherine Spurgeon, and she's going to talk to us about the female athlete of the year. It just so happens that we have very similar agendas when it comes to the player of the year in track and field. And then when we get into the real guts of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about Rush Probst, some things that have been going on with him. We're going to talk about Gunnar Rivers, who is, man, I'm going to tell you right now, that boy has grown. He's about 6'4", and he has worked to get to where he is. He's one of the premier high school football quarterbacks in the country. We're going to talk a little bit about Gunnar and maybe even tiptoe into the role that Alabama played in his recruitment, because at one time they were right in the middle of it. And we'll talk a little bit about our new setup in private school stuff, and I'm not an advocate of it. I've said it all along. I think we're a lot better together than we were, than we are apart. But we're going to highlight some of the players in AA, which I think five of the top teams in the state of the 16 are right down here in the South. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. They have changed some of the wording as far as the playoffs are concerned. And now, brace yourself for this, all 16 teams in AA private school league are going to be in the playoffs. So you can go 0-10, you're still going to be in the playoffs. I'm not a proponent of that either. I don't know. But I like getting everybody involved since we've only got 16 teams. But, I hope at some point in time we get back to where we were, and we get, at least with the large schools, get the larger private schools back in with the public schools. That's a hope and a prayer, and it may not ever happen, but that's a wish that I have. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Pell City situation. We're going to talk a little bit about the Mary G. Montgomery situation. We've stayed away from it, but we're going to attack it and talk about it today. And we got a buddy over in East Alabama, Glenn Lott, who's the headmaster. Well, listen, he's not only the headmaster, he's the head football coach. I think he's the head softball coach. He may even be the head basketball coach at Macon East. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what Glenn has proposed and I think has been accepted. So we've got another private school association in the state of Alabama. It's been renamed, I think, for all practical purposes. So, and then we're going to touch on the Lifetime Achievement Awards. We talked a little bit about Phil Lazenby last week. But there's two other gentlemen that are equally are going to be recognized. And we didn't have much time last week, but we recognized Phil Lazenby last week. But we're going to spend some more time talking about the Lifetime Achievement Awards. And then we're going to probably dive into the new private school league and, you know, talk a little bit about that. But that's just kind of where we are today. And, you know, as we go around the state, football teams are having to work out their schedules to where they either stay out of the heat or they practice at night or they practice early in the morning. Lots and lots of schools are practicing early in the morning since they're not in school and trying to stay away from the heat. But at some point in time, maybe after this heat wave is over, we'll you know, go back to normal. And hopefully after today, which is Thursday, by the way, after today, we'll get a little break in this heat. And but it's going to be hot from now to September. It's going to be hot from now to August 21st when we kick it off. And so, you know, coaches realize and players realize that we're going to have to get out there in that heat at some point in time. And I can promise you, parents, and everybody who's concerned about it, there's nobody more concerned about it than the coaches. And they will do and are doing everything that they possibly can to hydrate your children. Now, let me say this to the moms and dads and the folks that are listening out here. If you're grandparents and you're listening to this, it's wrong to think that you can hydrate for Monday's practice and start Sunday night or even Saturday. You know, these athletes and the band members and the cheerleaders, they got to hydrate every single day. Now, I know you've heard that, and I'm not – Stacy Harrelson is as good a athletic trainer as I've ever been around. And for years, he's told us that, guys, if you hydrate a day or two, 3 days ahead of time, you're going to have problems when you come to practice. Now, it's it is mandatory with the weather that we have and are going to have that parents, grandparents, everybody that has got their young people's ears, whether you're in the band, whether you're a cheerleader, or whether you're a football player, you begin hydrating the first day of the week all the way through the seventh day of the week. And I can't promise you that you're not going to have problems, but your problems are going to be limited if you do that hydration. Now, Steve, our producer here, now he works out and he runs and he does all that. I don't even know how much water he drinks, but I would imagine that he's got water going down him every day of the week, at least every day of the week. He's got something going on hydration-wise. So that's what we're going to talk about. I do want to say one other thing. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, if you're just sitting around and enjoying the air conditioner, turn on FM Talk 106.5 and listen to our friend Jolene Roxbury. She's the funniest woman in radio, I can tell you that. I'll turn on some of the other networks and I'll see the comedians and I say, man, Jolene Roxbury ought to be killing it because she is absolutely as funny can be. That's this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And then Sunday morning before you get ready to go to church, turn it on FM Talk at 7 a.m. and you can catch Jolene again. So she is the funniest woman in radio as far as I'm concerned. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Arthur Mack. And we're going to talk about one of the most outstanding athletes that we've been around and seen participate in outdoor track and field. And this young man has got a huge, 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 huge career in front of him. So we'll talk to Arthur about that. You're listening to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report presented by the Hayden Williams Insurance Agency.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Saturday morning. We're into August, and the heat, hopefully, is going to give us a little break here for the next maybe 10, 12, 15 days to get us some little better weather to practice football, volleyball, cheerleading, band. Let's keep our fingers crossed on that. We always love to talk to Arthur Mack. If there's anybody in the Southeast that follows track and field and really covers all sports, let me tell you, we have labeled Arthur probably unfairly because this gentleman has covered every sport that there is to cover. I don't think he's ever had to cover tennis. I don't. But we'll check with him on that. They just selected some athletes of the year. I threw Arthur a curveball, Steve. I threw him a complete curveball right before we went on. I switched from female to male and wanted him to give us his thoughts and ideas on the Call News Male Athlete Track and Field, Outdoor Track and Field Athlete of the Year. Arthur, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. And yes, I did cover tennis back in the day. So
I can't find a void for you. You've done it all, pal. You have done it all.
Oh, pretty much. Pretty much.
And he's got a radio voice. I mean, you know, you could put him in a studio, and it's like yesterday I was listening, or the day before yesterday I was listening to him, and when he asked a question, it's bouncing off the walls. He's got such a good voice. So, Arthur, with
that. Well, thank you very much. A lot of people have told me that over the years.
Oh, I mean that. I mean that. And that is, I got a guy calling me. And you've got a talented voice, and I love listening to you. And so you tell us now about you did this for the Call News, too, this year. And
yes, that's correct.
So, mm-hmm. So give us tell us a little bit about the male the male outdoor track and field athlete of the year.
Okay, well, this year's Call News Male Track and Field Athlete of the Year is none other than James Jackson of McGill-Tulane. Now, before we go into what he did, I have to admit, it was kind of a tough call because there were several other athletes in Mobile and Baldwin County and in Washington County who had outstanding performances who could have easily won that. One is a young man from Foley who was one of the top javelin throwers. The top javelin thrower in the state of Alabama for sure, and one of the top javelin throwers in the nation, Rashad Jones. And then you had Brent Acker of St. Michael, who was dominant in Class 4A in 200 and 400 and, did very well in both at the state meet. But the thing that stood out to me about James was in his event, the long jump and triple jump, he pretty much dominated Mobile County competition. Virtually every meet he competed in, he finished first in both events, and I think that was maybe one meet where he finished third, but the rest of the season, at least locally, he finished either first or second. And he has some of the best marks in the state, 23 feet 6 inches in the long jump, which is personal best, and in the triple jump, he was going, 47.6, I believe.
Wow.
Which, was the top jump by far here in Mobile County. And he got second in the long jump at state, and he also placed in the triple jump at state. This year's state competition was, wow, off the chains.
Right.
Man, there are so many talented jumpers and all.
Well, congratulations to James Jackson, McGill-Tulane Male Track and Field Athlete of the Year. And he's going to get that same honor, I think, from the AHSAA Radio Network Male Athlete of the Year in Track and Field. And so.
Yeah, there's going to be some debate, because we had, you know, quite a bit of talent, you know, in Mobile and Baldwin County, as I said.
Sure.
But one thing that stood out to me about James, too, was he played on McGill Tulane's football team in the defensive backfield.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, really, you know, when you're a two-sport athlete, you know, you're going to, you know, really stand out.
Well, he's a heck of an athlete, and I can tell you right now, he's a pretty doggone good football player, too. So, you know, he has been outstanding in both sports. And that's a great segue into what I wanted to talk to you now. I'm throwing you more curves. You and I were both at Ben Thomas's prep review, whatever you want to call it. I was there Monday.
Yeah, high school football media
day. Were you there both days?
Yes, I was there both days.
Okay, I want you to tell me the highlights of the media days from your standpoint.
Oh, wow. My standpoint, you know, the high point of the media days was seeing, you know, Coach Renato Jackson of Vigor, you know, talk about his team and make it a big push for Jabarius Chicken Gower to be Mr. Football. That was really the highlight of the day, and his rationale was Jabarius was chosen the lineman of the year two times in a row. You know, he led the state in sacks, and, you know, he's one of the top players in the country. He recently committed to Texas.
Right.
So, and, you know, with a pedigree like that, he's got a pretty good case for Jabarius being chosen as Mr. Football.
And I don't think there's any doubt that he will be one of the top five in that voting. I do. I mean, he's a phenomenal football player. And he makes a difference in the game. And when he's out of the game, coaches recognize that. And
their
offensive propensity is to run to where he was. And then they get him right back on the field. But he is a heck of a football player. And Sark's got him a great one coming. And Sark does a good job of getting people out of Alabama with all of his connections from when he worked with Coach Saban. I thought Ham Barnett just laid it on the table. I really did.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He poured his heart out about NIL and, you know, a whole bunch of other things as well.
Well, and I know you're the same. Faith-based, he shared it all. He laid it out there about his faith and what was important to him.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was mighty proud to see in a forum as such for him to just say, listen, this is where we're going to be. This is what we're going to – this is our objective. We want to win football games. We're going to do everything in our power as a coaching staff to win football games. But we want to win these guys' hearts for the Lord, and that's he didn't back away from it. He did.
Well, he did not. One thing about him, he does not bite his tongue when it comes to things such as expressing his faith.
Right, and boy, he took a beating on some Twitter stuff, and I want to call him out, but I'm not going to. I'm probably like you. I think sometimes the best thing to do is just not say anything.
There were times that I felt like saying a whole bunch of stuff, you know, but I said, I'm just going to hold my peace and let the Lord handle it.
That's and I'm glad you do it that way, because that really shows a lot more character and integrity to me than it does just to go on and battle with them with words, because that's all it is are words. Arthur, I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, we love talking to you for a lot of reasons, but most of all because you got a heart for kids and you love to highlight their accomplishments. And that goes right in line with what we believe here at PSR. Thank you so much for always being there, always willing to be able to build children, athletes up, not be a part of tearing them down. And that's something that we really appreciate.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. It does my heart good to see young people get some positive publicity.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what you do every article you write. And thank you for that. Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
And we'll get out of here, and we look forward to talking to you again soon, okay?
All righty.
Thanks a bunch. That's Arthur Mack, and I'm going to tell you, folks, you get a chance to read his byline in any print you want to read it, because it's all positive. He doesn't deal with all the negative stuff. But congratulations to James Jackson, McGill Tulane, male Outdoor Track and Field Athlete of the Year. That comes from the Call News up in Citronelle. When we return, we'll talk to Catherine Spurgeon of Green and Phillips right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big day.
Smoking
it's like a dream coming true.
It's been a while. Let me know.
Okay, that's not Anita Baker, who I would love to see one more time, but that is Olivia Dean, and we're going to bring, every time we bring Catherine in, we're going to find a new Olivia Dean song. Bring her. But welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Catherine Spurgeon of Green and Phillips, and each and every week, Green and Phillips honors the Alabama High School Radio Network Player of the Week. And Catherine, this week, we're honoring the Outdoor Track and Field Female Player of the Year, and you get that privilege to introduce us to her.
Yes, and I'm so excited to. This week we are celebrating Sarah Land senior Amaya Matone. She is a Troy University signee, and she capped off an outstanding career as one of Alabama's most versatile track and field athletes. At the Class 6A State Championships, she won the long jump with a personal best leap of 18 feet and 5 3/4 inches. She also finished runner-up in the 100-meter hurdles. She placed third in the pole vault, and she earned second place in the heptathlon. Throughout her career, Amaya excelled in multiple events, as you can see, and she posted personal bests in the hurdles, high jump, and sprint. So, again, congratulations to Sarah Land's Amaya Matone, who is our Outdoor Track and Field Female Player of the Year.
Well, congratulations to Amaya. She is an outstanding athlete, and, boy, congratulations for being the Outdoor Track and Field Player of the Year, presented by our good friends at Green and Phillips. And, you know, when we get a chance to talk to you, we always like to ask you one of these questions. And today's question is, why is it usually a mistake to accept an insurance settlement too quickly after an accident?
That's a good question, because it is definitely tempting to, you start getting the text messages from the other insurance. And I know from experience, you want to go ahead and put the accident behind you. But if you settle too quickly, it could be a costly mistake for you, because sometimes injuries don't fully show up for days, or in some cases even weeks, and right, you might not yet know the extent of your medical treatment that you'll need, or the time you might miss from work because of it. So once you settle, you sign a release, and then typically you can't go back and ask for more money later, even if new symptoms or injuries present themselves or other things like that. So we always recommend, before you sign anything from the insurance company, even if you just want a second opinion, you can come into our office anytime. You don't need an appointment. 51 North Florida Street here in Mobile. And then, as you know, Rick, very excited about our office in downtown Birmingham, 301 20th Street North. But again, we've got attorneys all day, every day in both offices that you can walk in and just sit down and be like, hey, this is what happened to me. This is what the other insurance party is offering. What are your thoughts? And they will guide you, honestly. And there's nothing to lose, because it's absolutely free.
And, you know, Catherine, also, we don't have an office in Atlanta yet, but in the Atlanta area, we have attorneys that will, because we've got people listening in the Atlanta area, we want them to know that if they have an accident, they need to have Green and Phillips' phone number. You pick it up and call them right there in the middle of that wreck after you've gotten out of the car. Call them.
Oh, my gosh, yes. 251-300-2000. You can call or text that number 24/7. We always have an attorney on call.
And that's something. And that's, I can tell you right now, I've done that more than once. I can promise you I've called David Green more than once when something like that's happened. Now, here's the $64,000 question. We opened this segment with a question. I know, with a song by Olivia Dean. What was the name of that song?
The name of that song. Oh my gosh, Rick, you would put me on the spot like that. Gosh, Now That It's Over, is that what it's called?
A Couple of Minutes.
It's called A Couple Minutes. Okay, yep. Well, Rick, you just showed me up on Olivia Dean trivia. Next week, I'm going to come back with some trivia for you about one of y'all's old man bands. How about that?
You know what? That's typical of what an old radio friend of mine has done to David more than once. You know it? I mean, but I really thought you would know that because it was, you know, it's one of her greatest hits.
Unfortunately, I would probably be able to sing most of the words, but
yep.
The name escaped me, but I'll be ready next week.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for taking time out. We appreciate it. Always love talking to you, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Thanks. You too, Rick. Talk later.
All right. Catherine Spurgeon, Green and Phillips, and boy, you want to talk about people that care about you. Those are people that care about you, and they will do everything they can to answer those legal questions and make you feel comfortable, because it's not comfort after you've had an accident, I can tell you that. So Green and Phillips, we appreciate everything that David and Will and the entire group of lawyers there at Green and Phillips do for high school sports and academics across Mobile and Baldwin County. I don't know if you deal with the same thing I deal with. I'm not one who looks at much on social media unless it deals with sports. Now, I do keep up with some of my high school friends, and we connect like that. But here lately, as football season approaches, I go to a social media called X, and because there's a lot of football stuff on there. And one of the things that broke the other day just was not true. And it had to deal with Rush Probst. Came out, there's a site on there called the Fired Coaches of Georgia. Don't particularly like this particular one, but they do come out with some information sometimes that is pertinent to things that are going on in Alabama. And then there's another one, another sports, and a good one. Powerhouse Sports is a very reputable Twitter feeder, and they come out with lots and lots of really fine, outstanding information about high school sports. And so I follow those two to kind of keep up from the northern part of the state all the way here to Mobile. But somehow, several other Twitter feeds had it that Rush Probst was getting back in coaching up at Plainview High School. Now, you may not know this, but Dale Pruitt, who is the father of Jeremy Pruitt, is the head football coach at Plainview High School. And that's up on, not far from the Tennessee border. And he's in his third stint there at Plainview. As a matter of fact, I'm sure Dale Pruitt graduated from Plainview High School. And he was shocked to hear that news. Now, he's a head football coach. And he said, I'm just absolutely shocked, and said, Rush is not joining our staff. He's not going to be on our staff. Now, Rush is a very accomplished high school football coach. We all know the things he's gone through. His teams have won 5 state titles at Hoover. He picked up another one last year at Coosa Christian. And that would be, you know, news for people to know that Rush had no longer at Coosa Christian. And he is, you know, he's now going to be at Plainview, but that's not true. So if you read it on Twitter, you read it in the newspaper, whatever you might have read, all sources are telling us that Rush is not going to be on that staff. So we'll kind of follow that and see what happens there. Now, there is a guy that is at Coosa Christian who was the head coach at Coosa Christian, but he had to sit out because of some violations with the AHSAA. His name's Mark O'Brien. And Mark was at one time brought Rush in, and Rush took his place last year at Coosa Christian. No, and they knew that they were going to have a really good football team. They'd gotten a really outstanding running back from the Tennessee High School in Tennessee, and so he was the main plug in Coosa Christian winning that state championship with Rush coaching it. Well, come to find out, that running back and another player from Coosa Christian moved, transferred to Plainview High School. So I would think that they put together that maybe since Rush was looking for a job, that he might have facilitated that. There is nobody that's saying that Rush had anything to do with those two players leaving. I don't know where that came from, but I think it's wrong to accuse somebody of having something to do with kids moving if that's not their family. But from what I understand, these two families, both their families moved into that school zone at Plainview and are going to school there, which is very legal. So, but the main gist of this is Rush Probst has not been hired at Plainview High School to coach for Coach Dale Pruitt. Of course, his son Jeremy Pruitt's now working with him, former defensive coordinator at Alabama for Nick Saban, excuse me, and also formerly the head coach at the University of Tennessee. So it's a pretty good staff Dale's got on there with him, with someone as accomplished as Jeremy Pruitt, heck of a football coach. We played them four straight years when we were coaching at Daphne and finally figured out how to beat them, but it took 4 years to do it. You're listening to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Mark and Randy are completely on assignment, and I'm trying to make it through 2 hours of talking high school sports with you on FM Talk 106.5 and the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, that's the perfect segue right there. That's Boz Scaggs. Every time it comes on, Mark turns around in his seat because Boz is telling him to look out behind you. It's just one of our favorite songs. So thank you for indulging us there. I imagine Ben Thomas just has to turn the music off because he's into a much more sophisticated genre than we are here at PSR, but we love him still. You know, if you have a fender bender, if you've had a fender bender in this weather that we're having on Thursday when we're recording this, you need to call our buddies at Premier Collision. And I can tell you right now, they will take care of all of your needs. You can reach them at 251-478-4500. And Chris or Kim or Tyler, they will bring you in, take good care of your car. When you get your car fixed and it's repaired, it's going to look and smell just like a brand new vehicle. It's Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Love what they do and appreciate how they support high school sports in our arena. Thanks a bunch, Premier Collision. You know, there's probably not any quarterback that has played in probably the last 10, 15 years in Mobile, Baldwin County, that has received as much attention. Now, we've had some really good, I'm talking about great quarterbacks. Vigers had much more than someone would say their share. They've had great quarterbacks. Sarah Land has had great quarterbacks. They've got one now who's at Texas as a backup out there, and I would imagine he would be in the hunt to be a starter. Sarah Land's current quarterback is committed already to Oklahoma, and so we got people all over the SEC from the Mobile area. But Gunnar Rivers, the son of Philip Rivers, there was a day last summer when Gunnar actually thought his most likely college destination might be the University of Alabama. I mean, Rivers is only the number one player in AL.com's Best in Bama rankings of the top recruits in the state, regardless of classification or of the graduating class. And Gunnar has certainly had his pick of any major college program in the country. And Alabama stood out early in the recruiting process, and I didn't know this. And it's well documented here. Philip, his dad, Steve, a Sylacauga native. I grew up right across the street from Steve Rivers, and to be perfectly honest, he was as a kid he was a hero of mine. He's such a tremendous athlete. Steve Rivers was probably, if not the best athlete that ever came through Sylacauga High School. He's one of the top five, I can promise you that. And not only was he a star in football, went to Mississippi State on football scholarship, but he was outstanding on the basketball court, and he was one of the state's most versatile athletes, and he was the number one tennis player on their tennis team that was outstanding as well. So just a multi-talented athlete in Steve Rivers, and then Philip, of course, was a great high school quarterback at Athens High School for his dad when he was coaching there, and now Gunner is the number one player in the state of Alabama at quarterback, even though we've got a great class of quarterbacks in this state, and it'd be hard for me to pick one quarterback over another. We've got so many good ones. But it looked like that Alabama was one of two schools that was really right there in the running for Gunner to go to. And Nick Sheridan, who at the time was the offensive coordinator, and he and from what I understand, he and Gunner just really connected. And I think later on he went up to North Carolina State and visited for the North Carolina State-North Carolina game. And there was something about the environment that made him feel at home. Well, I wonder what that was. We have had the privilege of broadcasting a collegiate game from there in Raleigh, North Carolina, a North Carolina State game. And I can tell you right now, when you walk in there, you see a huge it is really a real-life version of Philip Rivers. I mean, it's all 6'4" of him, 6'5", ever how tall he is. But there's a poster as you walk in that stadium, and there's Philip Rivers looking right at you. So I can imagine when Gunner visited there for another time. I'm sure Gunner's been there numerous times. He really did. He felt like he was at home. And Nick Sheridan had left Alabama and had left, and I think he'd gone somewhere to be the offensive coordinator at Michigan State, if I'm not mistaken. And Rivers just fell in love with Raleigh, North Carolina, and his dad's alma mater, North Carolina State. So he has committed to them, but he's just one of the top quarterbacks. And, you know, we've divided this high school football now into divisions, particularly in the private school league. And today I wanted to talk just a little bit about some of those that you're going to see. And I think every one of them is a name that at one point in time, a multiplicity of them, we're in the Mobile, Baldwin County area, but this AA in private school league has 16 teams, 16. And I want you to know some of the quarterbacks. Now, when you look around in the northern part of the state, Jameson Barnes at Briarwood Christian, he's a junior. Boy, this kid is, wow, his GPA is 4.63 on a 4-point scale. He's one of the state's outstanding baseball prospects. He's a catcher at Briarwood, too. He batted 500 in one of the most prestigious baseball summer leagues in that East Coast League. He played for the East Coast Sox. He batted 500. Now, let me tell you something. That's impressive. 6'2", 188-pounder, and he will be the starting quarterback at Briarwood for Coach Matthew Forster. You want to keep up with Jameson Barnes. And then another young man that had ties to Baldwin County, Will Blackwell, played at Spanish Fort last year. His dad was the offensive coordinator for Chase Smith, and Will is now at Montgomery Catholic. And he's also a heck of a baseball player. He's a right-handed pitcher. He also catches for his baseball team. And 6'1", really, 195 pounds. Got great arm strength. And, of course, his dad is a tremendous football coach. Aubrey Blackwell, who is also the head football coach now at Montgomery Catholic, worked for Chase Smith at Spanish Fort last year as offensive coordinator. But you want to keep an eye out on Will Blackwell. He's going to be a good one, I can tell you that. Then there's another one down in at Glenwood in Phoenix City. His name is Trey Clarity. I don't know a whole lot about him. I do know that he had a great game against Sylacauga this past year. He's probably a little over 6 foot, very athletic, got a great arm. He's another kid that's got an exceptional GPA. He's 4.5 GPA, and you want to look forward to keeping up with Trey Clarity at Glenwood. Now, locally, Hayden Fincher. Boy, I saw Hayden at a media days the other day. Good-looking kid. He started 10 games for Ham Barnett as a sophomore, threw for over 1,800 yards, 21 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. I'd say that's pretty doggone good. Good-looking kid. Hayden is 6'2", 195 pounds, and he'll be the leader of that team there at St. Paul's. Then you go right down the road to UMS, Max Fowler. Max, as a junior, passed for 2,200 yards, 24 touchdowns, and he's just a fantastic football player and probably one of the top returning quarterbacks in the state of Alabama. He's perfect fit for Sam Williams' offense. He's the leader of the football team, and they lean heavily on him. He's 6'1", 205 pounds. He's got an offer from North Alabama, but he's going to get more offers. I believe that with all my heart. Max Fowler, tremendous athlete. Could be a starter in 3 different sports. He's a very talented baseball player. He plays a lot of basketball for Michael Knapp, but you want to keep an eye out for him as well. And we've got some other quarterbacks that we're going to talk more about. We're running up on a break right now, but I'm going to tell you, AA private school football's got some outstanding quarterbacks, and that's just a few of them that we mentioned today. We'll be talking about them at length as the season goes on, along with some of the other quarterbacks. This Roberts kid at Sarah Lynn, something special. You listen to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. When we come back with the second hour, we're going to fill you up with all the news that we know that's going on around the state of Alabama.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. Now for Hour 2, here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Mark Lasseter.
Well, love to listen to that music. And, of course, Randy's on assignment. Mark's on assignment. And we're here with the best producer in radio, Steve Stanley, talking high school sports. And during the first hour, appreciate Arthur Mack coming on and joining us. And Catherine Spurgeon joining us as well. And got it right, Steve. And, you know, as we approach high school football and we approach high school volleyball, there's a lot of things that have changed. Now, everybody will give you this example. Well, now Alabama is like Louisiana. They're like Georgia. We're like Mississippi. And we're like Tennessee. Everything around us, I don't know. I need to check on Florida. But public and private are no longer competing for state championships against each other. I don't think we'll ever be for that here at PSR. And for 27 years, we've tried to be as positive as we could be and build players, coaches, officials, and the High School Athletic Association up. And I'm a defender of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, and I'll tell you why. Contrary to what many of you believe out there, the Alabama High School Athletic Association only enforces the rules that the schools make. I want to say that again. Contrary to what many of you believe out there, the AHSAA is not the bad guy in these decisions. The rules are made by the member schools of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And their job at the AHSAA is to enforce the rules that are made by the member schools. I hope you remember that. And when you start throwing mud and dirt at the AHSAA, you need to remember that probably the school that you are loyal to was part of that rule being made. So, I mean, it's to me, and there's a lot of things that are going on in our world today that I don't understand, particularly politically. And so I just keep my mouth shut and I don't voice my opinion on it because I have such great respect for the office of many of those office holders that I sometimes disagree with. But in high school athletics, the AHSAA is not the bad guy. They simply do what they are mandated to do, and that's to enforce the rules that the member schools make. Now, last week we talked about three legendary coaches that were honored by the Alabama Football Coaches Association at their annual meeting in Montgomery. These three men, Hugh Fountain, Phil Lazenby, and Hal Riddle, were honored with Lifetime Achievement Awards at the annual Coach of the Year banquet held in Montgomery. We lost Hugh Fountain, died in March of 2025 after a battle with cancer. Hugh Fountain was one of the finest men you'll ever meet. He was a 38-year coaching veteran. He spent only 1 year as an assistant coach. He was a head football coach at W.S. Neal in Bruton, Charles Henderson in Troy, and Escambia Academy in Millbrook, Alabama. He won 271 games, and he was in his second tenure at W.S. Neal when he died in 2025. Hugh took his teams to the playoffs 29 times, and he won Alabama Independent School state titles in 2014 and 2017. And when you talk to people that played for Hugh Fountain, and he's a member, he's part of a family that's full of coaches. And when you talk to people that have played and worked for Hugh Fountain, you get nothing but the utmost respect, and rightfully so. Another one that was recognized in Montgomery was former Hewitt Trustful head football coach Hal Riddle. Hal Riddle spent 18 years as an assistant coach at Hewitt Trustful. And for those of you that listen to us in the northern part of the state, you know that Hewitt Trustful is where Jack Wood coached, where they've had tremendous high school football, and where they are as competitive as any team in the Birmingham area. And Hal was an 18-year assistant at Hewitt Trustful and also over at Irwin. And Irwin is no longer called Irwin. I'll have to find their new name. But Hal took the job at Irwin in 1993, and he spent 5 years as the head coach there. 1 year he was a head coach at Mortimer Jordan and three out at Clay Chalkville before taking over the Hewitt Trustful program in 2002. His Clay Chalkville team won the 1999 state championship in Class 6A, and Hal spent 12 years leading the Huskies. He won 79 games. In 21 years as head coach, he owns a 150-90 record. Hal Riddle is a fine, fine man. I happen to know a lot about him because he was in that area where a bunch of my buddies were that were coaching, and they all had great things to say about Hal Riddle and had the utmost respect for him. And the third member of that group is one that most of us are familiar with around here in South Alabama, Phil Lazenby. Phil Lazenby became a head coach 27 years as a head coach. He's currently serving as an assistant at UMS Wright for Sam Williams. He led three teams to state championship games, Benjamin Russell in 1997 and 2000, Bayside Academy in 2015, and was part of three state championship teams during his first tenure as a UMS assistant. Fields' teams won 115 games in a 16-year tenure at Bayside. He completely changed the way they play football at Bayside Academy. He also helped start the football program at Bayshore Christian School. These three men, Hugh Fountain, Hal Riddle, and Phil Lazenby, represent the best of the best when it comes to high school coaching. Integrity. They care about young people. They will do anything in the world to help a young man or a young lady be the very best they can be in whatever sport they are participating in. Congratulations to the late Hugh Fountain, to Hal Riddle, and to Phil Lazenby for being recognized as Lifetime Achievement Award winners by the Alabama Football Coaches Association. And, you know, we've got a plethora of coaches who are very deserving, and it's very tough each and every year for that organization to pick three winners of the Lifetime Achievement Awards. But congratulations to that group of selectors who chose those three men, because they are very, very much they deserve it. Let's just put it that way in good old-fashioned terms. And they deserve to be recognized, and they're three men that we have the utmost respect for here at the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this new private school high school athletic league that Glenn Lott over at Macon East has kind of ramrodded. And not only will we talk to Glenn Lott later in the season, we're going to tell you all about this new league that they've got right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. And we are presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios today in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. I got a question, and thank you for the text messages that you send me. And say, Coach, I'm misaligned, or I don't understand. Can you go over the teams in AA, the big schools in the private school league? Well, we will do that. You got two regions, and it's kind of interesting. I think you got eight in each region. You got down in region one, and this is where I think four or five of the best programs in the state of Alabama are located. Catholic Montgomery, Faith Academy, Glenwood School. Glenwood School is located in Phoenix City. Houston Academy, located in Dothan. McGill Tulin, St. Michael, St. Paul's, UMS Wright. Those eight schools are in Region 1, or they are in, if you want to call it the South Region, you can, but it's called Region 1 in AA football here in the state of Alabama. And Region 2, got American Christian from Tuscaloosa, Briarwood from Birmingham, John Carroll from Birmingham, Lee Scott Academy from the Auburn-Opelika area, Madison Academy from the Huntsville area, Randolph from the Huntsville area, St. John Paul from the Huntsville area, and Westminster Christian. And so those are the 16 schools that represent AA private school football. Now, I think Region 1 is heavy, heavily loaded with some of the most successful programs in the state of Alabama in private school athletics. And when you look at it, you look at McGill Tulin, you look at St. Michael's, you look at St. Paul's, you look at UMS Wright, and you look at Catholic Montgomery, they've all won state championships. All of them have. And it's going to be a battle royale. And we just learned from yesterday's meetings that every team in AA will make the playoffs. Now, in AA Region 2, let's look at state champions. American Christians won a state championship. If I'm not mistaken, I think they have. Briarwood has won a state championship. You go on from there. Madison Academy years ago won state championships. And that's the ones there. I just think Region 1 is top-heavy, and it would be unfair to only allow four teams out of either one of these regions to go to the playoffs. And I hope that we cross inter-regions to play when it comes to the playoffs, because I hope the regions are not playing each other in the first two rounds, because that's going to eliminate some of the better teams. I hope Region 1 and Region 2 will compete early in the playoffs, and whatever way we can get the two best teams to play in the state championship, whether they're both from Region 1 or they're both from Region 2, I hope we can come to that point. So now I wanted to, and you know, those of us that coach the game, there's certain positions that we're have an affinity for. Well, I'm an O-line, Mark Lassiter and I are O-line people. That's what we coach. That's what we love to do. And not a lot of people will want to coach the offensive line. They just don't. It's a lot of work. You're coaching five guys at one time, and you got to keep your eyes open all the time. You got to have somebody in the press box that can help you. And it's the most fun, because these are the guys that get no recognition except from the running backs and their coaches and their mamas and daddies. Nobody pays any attention to them, and that's okay. You got to have those kind of guys that play that position. Let's talk about some of the best ones in AA private school football. And believe me, we're going to give you a lot of stuff on public school football. But today is a little bit about AA high school private school football. You got Miller Bedsoe, Faith Academy. He can play every position on the offensive line. He's got great feet. When you watch film of Miller Bedsoe, man, he's a tough kid. He's got his footwork is impressive. 5'11", 260 pounds. He benches about 365, squats over 465 pounds. Very unselfish, typical offensive lineman. And we look forward to seeing Miller Bedsoe play Faith Academy. And then you got Charlie Callahan over at St. Michael's Catholic. And he, like Miller Bedsoe, is a junior as well. And Charlie is the only returning offensive line starter for the Cardinals. And Phillip Rivers is high on Charlie Callahan. He's going to be one of the leaders of that offensive line. And, you know, I can promise you, Gunnar Rivers is probably taking him out for hamburgers very often, because Charlie's a big old good-looking football player. And Gunnar's probably been taught by his dad more times than once that you better look after those offensive linemen. Every chance you get, you buy them a hot dog or a hamburger. And every once in a while, you need to slip down and buy them a steak dinner, because that's the guys that will protect you and lead our team to victory. And you got this is a guy that I've only watched one film on. This guy's name is Adrian DeRucco, 6'6", 300-pound left tackle. And this kid's got offers from a lot of schools, Kansas, Mississippi State, Samford. And he's the guy that kind of spreads the love on that offensive line at Briarwood Christian for Matt Forrester. Good football player. He's only a sophomore, and he'll be a junior this coming year. But he's a special player. He's big. He's aggressive. He's one of those kids, too. He's got a 4.5 GPA, scored 29 on ACT, so he can get in any school in America, probably, if he wants to. He can just about do what he wants to do. Carson Dickey, and I have not seen any film on Carson Dickey. He plays at American Christian Academy over in the Tuscaloosa area. Plays every position on the offensive line. He's also a deep snapper. Now, dads, if you want your son to have an opportunity to play college football, get somebody to teach him to long snap. If he's a big old offensive lineman, he can fill a gap. If he can long snap, he's got a future, because every coach is looking for long snappers. And he's the cornerstone of that offensive line unit at American Christian. We look forward to to watching him play, because I just hadn't had a chance to see him very much film of him. Cooper Favors is a senior at Glenwood over in Phoenix City, 5'11", 185 pound starter at right tackle. Now, let me tell you something. That's not a very big kid. We played with a lot of those kids at UMS Wright, Phil Lazarby and myself. We didn't have very many people that were much bigger than that a lot of years. But this kid is, he's a smart kid, smart player. And Ryan Nelson, his coach, like a lot of the offensive linemen, he's a 4.0 student. I tell you, he's a dadgum good baseball player. I will tell you that. He was 12-2, had an ERA of 1.3, and his team won the state championship. Luke Foster, Madison Academy junior. 6'4", 320-pounder, camped at Auburn, Vanderbilt, Navy, Jacksonville State, Troy, and UAB. Third year as a starter, plays for an outstanding coach in Bob Godsey. Had a great offseason in the weight room, has a 4.0 GPA, benched over 360 pounds in his last weight room workout. So he's a heck of a player. You're going to want to keep an eye out for Luke Foster. He's going to be one heck of a player for Bob Godsey up there. Some of the local guys that you might want to keep an eye out on. You got Andrew Robinson at St. Paul's. Andrew is a sophomore, 6'3", 275-pound tackle, started all 10 games as a freshman, graded 84%. That doesn't happen a lot. Had 13 pancakes. Plays for Coach Ham Barnett. His GPA, 4.2. You think these offensive linemen aren't smart? Michael Nettles from McGill Tulin, a junior, 6'2", 260 pounds. He plays both center and guard, very versatile, moves well in all directions, and just a heck of a good football player. Those are some of the best offensive linemen in division, in AA, in private school football in Alabama. Look forward to following them right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. When we return, we'll talk a little bit about that new private school league that doesn't involve many teams from here in the Mobile Baldwin County area on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Now, most of you folks who follow high school sports in the state of Alabama, I hate to interrupt Bob Skaggs, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you follow high school sports, you know that in the past we've had two associations. We have the Alabama High School Athletic Association, which is called the AHSAA, and you dads and grandfathers, y'all played for member schools of the AHSAA, and then there's some of you out there who played in an independent school league called the Alabama Independent School Association. So one of our buddies, friend, young man from Prattville, Alabama, who's now the he does everything at Macon East. He's the head of school. He is the head football coach. His name is Glenn Lott, and he's very well known in the private school leagues in the state of Alabama. And he really has done a tremendous job at Macon East, and they've won multiple state championships in different sports. And he's also the athletic director there. And he does everything, has been the athletic director. I think now that he's the head of school, I think somebody else may be handling that job. They've changed their competitive name from AISA. They are now going to officially be called the Gulf States Independent Athletic Association. So I guess you could say the GSIAA. And they're scheduled to begin play prior to the 2027-2028 year. Now, the question I get is, does that mean the AISA is not going to play this year? No, the AISA is going to play football this year. They're going to play all the other sports. And then in 27 and 28, they're going to become, as I understand it, and we're going to have Glenn on probably next week sometime, as I understand it, they will then become the GSIAA and begin play under that flagship name. League's going to start out with the schools currently in the Alabama Independent School Association. And any of those private schools in Alabama that are members of the AHSAA that aren't happy with the AHSAA for whatever reason are welcome to join the GSIAA, the Gulf States Independent Athletic Association. Now, the question I get every time I'm somewhere I'm out is, well, does that mean that there's just still going to be the Alabama Independent School Association schools in that league? Well, that's up to the private schools. After they've had 1 year under this new regime as far as private and public being separate, if they're not happy with it, they can join this new league. Now, let me say this. I think it's a mistake if you jump out and leave the Alabama High School Athletic Association. You're in a well-run organization, despite what many legislators think, and they need to keep their business of running the state to the political arena and keep their nose out of running the Alabama High School Athletic Association, in my opinion. And that's all three of our opinions here at PSR. And I would venture to say, it's all four of us, I would venture to say that our producer, Steve Stanley, feels the same way. The legislator doesn't have anything, shouldn't have anything to do with trying to legislate high school athletics. And that's a show for another day, I can promise you. Would be a very long show and probably step on some toes, and we're not naturally, we don't do that a lot. But in this case, that might be something we need to do down the road. But we'll have to find out a whole lot more than about this new league that the AISA is calling themselves. So they're going to start out with those 80 schools or so that are no, it won't be that many schools. There's not that many schools in the Alabama Independent School Association. But representatives from 80 schools attended the meeting they had this past Friday in Montgomery a week ago. And what their MO was to discuss an athletic league that will be separate from both the Alabama High School Athletic Association and the Alabama Independent School Association. So, you know, if some schools want to stay in the Alabama Independent School Association and compete, so be it. But I think what they're thinking is that most of those in the Alabama Independent Schools will transfer their membership over to the Gulf States. Now, they will still remain in the Alabama Independent School Association academically, is the way I understand it. And we will get that clarified from Glenn Lott when he joins us. And right now, I don't think, as of this broadcast, I don't think there are any members of the AHSAA who have committed to this new league, the Gulf States Independent Athletic Association. I don't think Glenn knows. And what Coach Lott did was in their meeting on Friday, they showed the 80 schools who were there what the league would possibly look like if everyone joined eventually with three or four classes. And in the model, they included every school that is private in the state. I can tell you right now, it would surprise me if McGill or St. Michael's or UMS or St. Paul's, it would really surprise me if they joined any other league. It would. Now, some other private schools in Mobile may be interested in doing that. And there may be a private school or two across the bay that would be interested in joining the GSIAA. But I just cannot foresee, I can't foresee one of our larger private schools joining another organization. All of this started when the AHSAA voted to separate private schools from public schools. And I don't know how you feel about it. I really don't. I don't know how the smaller private schools feel about it. And I don't know how the larger private schools feel about it. Shane Sullivan, who is our private school representative in Montgomery, is going to be a guest of ours here soon. And he would have been today, but I don't think they got all the information from the meeting that they had yesterday out to those representatives. But we'll get – and Shane will be on with us. He's committed to doing that because he wants all of our listeners to know what's going on as far as that's concerned. So that's where we are with that. And, you know, they're going to form a founders board to go through the bylaws and the handbooks. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens with the Gulf South Interscholastic Athletic Association. Now, let's talk about the bear in the room. And that is the Pell City situation and the MGM situation. Both head coaches. Alex Page, who has replaced Zach Golson, said it would be a disaster for his seniors not to be able to play their senior season. And listen, I have sympathy for those players. I do. And I wish there was some way that we could work it out where they wouldn't be penalized. I do. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't. But I believe if you break a rule, and as coaches and administrators, we've got to know what our rules are. And if we break a rule, we're going to be penalized for it. We've got to be accountable for our actions. And both Pell City and Mary G. Montgomery are accountable for their actions. And both coaches are not coaching this year. Jake Gaines at Pell City is going to remain on the staff at the teaching staff. He can't have anything to do with the football program for 1 year. He just can't do it. Zach Golson has removed himself from the property at Mary G. Montgomery. From what I understand, he's cleaned out his office. And Alex Page, whose dad, Tony Page, was a successful high school defensive coordinator at Prattville for years and outstanding football coach. Alex Page has got a yeoman's job in front of him taking over for Zach Golson. Right now, as everything sits, they are not eligible for the playoffs. And they went to the board yesterday and presented 7 hours worth of talk, presenting their case. 7 hours they presented their case. And the central board made no decision. They didn't change anything, is what I mean by no decision. And there's a lot of there's just a lot of things that probably the public doesn't know about why they were penalized like this. But they obviously broke some rules, some very serious rules. And consequences are dire, and the kids are punished for that. And I know a lot of people are upset that the kids are punished for mistakes made by coaches and administrators. But that's where we are. And as of right now, MGM and Pell City will not be eligible for the playoffs. When we return, the Camp Grace segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, we're always on the lookout for ways to please and impress these people whose opinions are what validates us. And today, I'm going to use a scripture from Ephesians, but I want to ask you a question. What would happen if we let the person who determines our worth be God? What would happen if we let the person who determines our worth be God? See, we recognize that God is the supreme and ultimate reality who stands behind all of life and is crucial for all of us. Scripture's clear about this, folks. It's clear about the truth. And then like Psalm 139, verse 16 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Then we go to Ephesians, second chapter, the 10th verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. You know, there's coaches all over the state, all over the Southeast, all over this country that every day in every sport and every band director and every cheerleader sponsor, they're doing their dead level best to help that young person, whether it be boy or girl, be the very best they can be at their chosen endeavors, whether it be sports, whether it be music, or whether it be cheer. And when you look at that verse in Ephesians, it's workmanship that Paul is talking about. And it comes from a Greek word, by the way, called poema, which really means, or literally means, work of art. As men, our lives are of incredible value simply because we are God's work of art, his masterpiece. That alone is the marvel of life itself, as far as I'm concerned. But you know what? When you think about your worth as a person has to do with your value. Your value is not based on what you do, but on who made you. God is telling us that he is the one who gave us our existence, our very being. We are here for a reason, for a purpose. You see, God has a simple plan for our living, a plan that is full of meaning and purpose. I want to share something I've learned from a book called The True Measure of a Man. My dear friend Chris Yeager, head football coach at Mountain Brook, and I probably told this, but called me one day and he said, Coach, I got something I want you to read. He said, I know you're retired and I know you're enjoying retirement, but I think this book will hit home with you because I've heard your show, I've known you for a long time, and I just think it would be something that would hit home with you. And he said, I can promise you when you read this book, you're going to do exactly what I did when you read this book. And I said, well, what is that, Chris? He said, you're going to go buy about 20 of them, and you're going to give them to people that you care about. Now, I told Tracy, I said, I'm going to read this book because, first of all, I need to read it probably, but second of all, because Chris recommended it and cared enough about me as a human being to let me know about it and to send it to me. So I read it, and I don't think I've ever made as many underlines in a book as I have in The True Measure of a Man. Author of that's Richard Simmons, not the Richard Simmons that we grew up watching on TV, but this Richard Simmons has dedicated his life to helping others be the best that they can be. So in reading this book, this is what I have found out. And I did. I bought 20 of those books. Man sitting in front of me who I love dearly has got one of those books. My two dear, dear friends, Randy Bergen and Mark Lassiter, have those books. And several more people that I care deeply about have that book. This is what I learned. We have to work for bosses. We do. Every one of us has a boss. In my line of work, it was a principal. If I was an assistant coach, it was the head coach. And when I retired, it was my principal, my headmaster, and the board of trustees. And what I've learned from this book is it doesn't matter what your job is. If you're the CEO of a Fortune 400 company, or if you are a stock boy for Winn-Dixie, you got bosses. But this is what I've learned. If you do the work that you have in front of you to do, if you work at the goal of pleasing God, He is the one that you've got to please, and you work like that, and you feel that in your heart, and you do everything that you can do to please God, and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make errors. My backpack is so full, I've had to buy two new backpacks in the last 20 years. I mean, and it's a burden. It's a burden that I've carried all my life. And I'm sorry. I'm not happy about that. But so have you. And so have every other person we know. But if you work to please God, then you know who's going to be pleased? Then you're doing the very best you can do, and you're going the extra mile to make it the best you can do. I see this guy sitting in front of me. I see him do that every time I'm with him, whether it's doing a show, whether it's doing a podcast, or whether it's we're just talking about life. I see it. He thinks he's less than good. I think he's better than the best. And let me tell you, his life, he's had a lot of stuff in that backpack he carries too. But we work for God. When we cut the grass, we want our grass to be the prettiest grass on the block. When we stock shelves in a grocery store, we want the front of our displays to be the best they can be. When we try a case before the Alabama Supreme Court, we want to present it the very best we can present it. When we run a school, we want to run that school to please God, which in everything that we do, if we're pleasing God, everything's going to work out for the best. That's what the true measure of a man taught me. I wish I'd read this book 20 years ago. I do. I don't think I'd have created so many problems for myself as I have. And boy, I'm telling you. You know, another thing I've learned from this book is this. When Jesus died on the cross, ultimately our sins were forgiven as soon as he did that. Can you imagine God sending his son for that? He did for us. But you know what? We all have regrets in life. You know what else is forgiven? All of those regrets are forgiven as well. Get rid of those regrets. Get rid of them. He took care of those too. Live for the promise of a better tomorrow and face the struggles that you got to face knowing that I'm going to please God with everything that I do. Thank you for being a part of PSR today. It's a joy and a privilege to be able to talk to you and to share with you. But most of all, I want you to remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. Everything you do, if you ask, He will open that door. All you got to do is knock. That's all you got to do. And He'll be right there with you. Thanks to Steve Stanley. I love Steve Stanley. He's the best I've ever been around. And I appreciate him and respect him. Have a great day. We hope to see you here same time, same place next week.